So, good morning, SCC. And good morning to everybody on live stream, too. I'm reading from Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home, he's talking about all the people he'd already just fed. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I'm here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Thank you.
So I'm Scott Koenigsaker. I'm the lead pastor here at the church. Have to introduce myself because you haven't seen me in a few weeks. But hasn't everybody else done an awesome job? Christy and Keith. Rick is now back from being on the other side of the pond, and that's the English version. He was over in Europe with Andrea. So you'll be hearing from him in the next couple of weeks. So life is a weighty matter. It seems as though as we turn from one thing to another thing, we don't often turn from something weighty to something really light and easy. We go to the paper, the news feed, and if it isn't a war now, it's 10% inflation. And it's true that life is a weighty matter, that we get weighed down by all the things that are happening around us. Sometimes we get even a heavier feeling when there isn't anything we think we can do about that. It's just the way the cards of life have been dealt, and well, that's what the Bible says. You will have good and evil. You will have easy days and you will have hard days. There is a great resurrection power that is at our disposal, but we will also suffer with Jesus as well. Life is weighty at this moment. Here's what David penned. "The Lord lifts up those who are weighted down." Do we really believe that God lifts us up when we're weighted down? What weight, may I ask you this morning, what weight do you bring in here? I'm old enough to know that everybody's got a weight. They're just different kinds of weights. Things that are upon our mind, heart, and soul. And God does make a promise to us that he wants to lighten our load. He wants to lift us up when we are heavy, thereby relieving the strain and the stress and the depression and the difficulty that we face. How does God do that? How does God lift the weight off of us? Well, I think God lifts the weight off of us when we're stepping out on faith, even when we're weighted down, stepping out on faith. Now, here's a few examples. Number one, Ananias. Now, Keith talked about him last week. He's going to go respond to God's call to go lay hands on Paul. Paul was killing people just a short time before Ananias heard God's call to go in and pray for him. He was killing and imprisoning Christians. And I can only imagine. Ananias, go to this house. I don't want to, if Paul's there, I don't even want to be in the same town, let alone the same house. And you want me to get into his personal space? Then Ananias went to the house, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. See, Ananias was stepping out on faith. He might have been trembling a little bit in that moment, but he was stepping out in faith. And we know that not only in his actions, but he calls Saul a brother. Hey, fellow Christian, I'm responding, I'm stepping out on faith because that's what God has called me to do in your life. And look what happened, something miraculous. Look at what Paul ended up doing in the Christian faith. The end result, well, it's supernatural, it's miraculous, it's divine. It's something God ordered. Now, then there was Abraham, Hebrews 11. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. Now, it's true, if you won't go, you'll never know. Abraham could have said, "No, I like where I live. I'm going to just stay here and worship you." You know, that might have been the easiest thing to do. But it wasn't the best thing to do. And isn't it interesting, even in the call and challenge of God to Abraham, that created kind of a weight in his life. He had to make a decision. He had to talk everybody else in the family because they did everything as a family. The family had to go with him as well. God calls us, we need to respond. Then the life of Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving." That's what I'm trying to say to you today. I'm not Moses, but get moving. Get moving. "Pick up your staff and raise it, and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so that the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground." Wow. On dry ground. In each case, God had a call. God had something greater for each of those people. God does have something greater for us. I'm not saying it's all going to be easy. I'm not going to say that once you off put the weight that you have on your mind, heart, and soul, that nothing else weighty will come along. Something else will. Why? That's the world we live in. And the great thing is God gives us an ability of faith so that we can step out in faith when we really don't want to, when we're not feeling able to. But how great it is when we respond to God's call, even though we're weighted down, all of a sudden things change for the better. The burden is a little less so. The future looks a little brighter, a little better. Another way that God lifts the weight off of us is he does that through success. I think when we're succeeding, at least I'm that way, when things are moving forward, when I feel successful at something, somehow that puts the weighty things in life in perspective. And it's true, when we're succeeding, when I'm succeeding, the weight in life seems a little less weighty. It's not so heavy. It's not so much a burden. Now, Peter, he understood the importance. So Peter went. Hang on one second. So Peter went over the side of the boat. Jesus is walking to him at night. They had just seen a miraculous thing. Jesus and the disciples really fed over 10,000 people. Now they're getting in the boat. They're going to get a little rest. They're going to go on a short cruise, a little ferry ride across the lake. And as they head over, things begin to get dicey. It gets windy and stormy. And they're a little worried, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, Jesus comes walking towards them, and they think it's a ghost. Jesus said, "No, I'm no ghost, it's me." And Peter is bold. He wants to step out on faith. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, notice he's not experiencing them, he just sees them. When he sees the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. And what does he say to the Lord? "Lord, save me. Save me." And many times that's us. We're weighted down. We step out on faith and we get out in the midst of the journey that God has for us. The adventure that he has for us, the life that he has for us. And we get a little concerned right in the middle. And it has everything to do with what we're looking at. Now, here's a little illustration for you. Now they're going to put the slides up. I messed them up a little bit. I moved things around. Okay, so this may not look like me, but this is me. I've aged a little bit since I was barefoot water skiing. When I was a high school director, a guy in our church was a barefoot water skiing instructor. His son-in-law was ranked 6th in the U.S. We were going on a houseboat trip to the Sacramento Delta area. And he said, "How about if I bring my barefoot boat and we'll teach high school kids how to barefoot water ski?" I said, "Are you kidding? That's awesome." So he calls me up a few days later and he says, "I want you to get a couple leaders and I want to take you out and show you what we're going to do with these high school students." So we go out to the Sacramento Valley, to the Delta, and he looks at the four of us and says, "Okay, you know, as disciples of Jesus, you're supposed to do everything that Jesus did. And today you're going to do one of the things that Jesus did. You're going to walk on water today." And off we went. Of course, I got to be the first one out of the boat. And it's true. It's a little bit like what the Bible says about Peter. What you do is you shinny out of the boat, get up to 40 miles an hour, and then you put your feet down and hold on to the boom, and then you kind of inch your way out. Now, I'm rolling right along as you could tell. I fell one time. This is the second time I got up. I thought I would show off a little bit, so I did one foot. How unlike me to do that. And then I was back on both feet, and I didn't know this, but Gary, the instructor, was in the boat, and he said, "Look at him, look at him. He's so darn proud of himself. He thinks he's so hot. He's out there bombing along at 40 miles an hour." He looked at the other leaders and said, "Watch this." And all Gary had to do is shout and say, "How are your feet doing?" And all I did was do this. And the next thing I saw was water, sky, water, sky, water, sky. As long as I didn't look at my feet, I was fine. As long as we keep looking at God. As long as we keep looking to Jesus. No, don't look at your feet. Don't overthink the weight in your life. Yeah, you got to think about it. You got to deal with it. But God calls us as we keep our eyes on Him. It's amazing what He does. And I know I'm like you. You know, you get halfway out of the boat and you start looking at your feet. You start getting a little worried. Well, what if God doesn't show up? I'm in trouble. No, God's in the business of showing up. God is in the business of showing up. And if you want God to show up in your life more often, then you got to step out on faith. Peter succeeded in two ways. He did get out of the boat and walk on the water, but he also realized that Jesus is always there for him. Jesus is always there for us. Success is an antidote to the weightiness that we feel in life. I don't know about you, and I am a person. Idleness is not my thing. Going backwards is really not my thing. I'm a forward-moving and thinking person, and so it's amazing. Some little successes kind of feed my mind, heart, and soul. Zechariah was a success in a way that he never thought he would be, but he always prayed that way, that Elizabeth would get pregnant. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. "Don't be afraid, Zacharias. God has heard your prayers. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have a great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." John the Baptist. Now, Zechariah was old. I mean, squim old. He was old. Elizabeth was old. Come on now. That's what? Ooh, an impossibility. And notice, this was a weight on both Zechariah, who was a priest, and Elizabeth. Oftentimes, if you were barren, people thought that was God punishing you for things that you have done wrong or not right. And in his old age, in his consistent prayer for God, God comes and answers it. Now, you know the story. He goes, "You got to be kidding me." And that was the last thing he said till John was born. God is in the business of helping us succeed. Yes, we're going to have failure. Yes, we're going to get knocked down, but not knocked out. God wants us to succeed at what he calls us to do. And so, like Zechariah, we keep praying in the waitingness of life. And we know that God answers our prayers in one of three ways. He says yes. He does say no. And then the one I really don't like to hear, wait. Right? Now, understand the success so to speak, in prayer, is that God answers you. That's the win. Now, I'm like you. I love it when God says, yes. Yes, abundantly. Yes, to overflowing. And the God that we worship, that God that we follow is that kind of God. But sometimes he says no, and I believe that he has a good reason for that. And one day I have my list. Do you have your list? I'm going to get to heaven, and I know it'll be one of two things. Either Jesus will sit down and shepherd me through the answers to all my great questions, or I think it's probably going to be the latter, and that is I'm going to get there and go, who cares? Those were big questions down on earth, but up here in the glory of God, yeah, that just washes away. The win is we pray to God and he answers. That's success. It's success when he says no. It's success when he says wait. Yeah, I'm like you. I love it when he says yes. And we do worship a yes God. How do we know that? Because he's a miraculous God. He does miraculous things. He does things that we can't do for ourselves. We do worship a God who is still in the business of doing miracles. Common miracles, small miracles, unusual requests, he answers. Big things he addresses. Someone has said, well, God's never done a miracle in my life. And I said to that person, no, you can't say he never has done that. He just hasn't done it yet. And they looked at me. And I said, you know, when you die and you resurrect and go to heaven, that's a miracle. That's miraculous. That's divine. And nobody's getting from this earth to heaven and God's glory without God's miraculous power. That's the kind of God we worship. And perhaps the miraculous thing that he does in our life is that we are perplexed, but we're not crushed. We are weighted down, but it hasn't stopped us dead in our tracks. We've been knocked down, but we haven't been knocked out. God does want us to be successful. He puts us on a path that is the very best path for us. And with him, even at the 3 o'clock hour, he comes and says, why are you worried? Why are you worried? I'm here for you. A third thing, and this might sound a little counterproductive or counterintuitive is what I meant to say. Counterintuitive to you. I think when we're weighted down, if we can find someone to sacrificially serve who is weighted down as well, as we seek to lighten their load, our weight is lessened as well. Isn't it true? I think it's very true. I think sacrificial service fills us. And it fills us in a way that, well, common service is good too. But sacrificial service, that fills us in a very deep and profound way. And it's often said by many people who work with people. If you want to feel the weight in perspective in your life, then serve someone else. If you want to lighten your load, then serve someone else. Got to turn the page. Ephesians 5:2. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. See, that this meal is a pleasing aroma to God. When you're weighted down and you think your life stinks, what you need is you need the pleasing aroma of God. And the pleasing aroma of God is released when we're willing to serve others, sacrificially serve others. And when we see someone who is weighted down as we are, we're afraid we really are going to be crushed under the amount of weight. But God does do something miraculous. He fulfills a promise to us when we're willing to step out on faith and serve, sacrificially serve someone else who is weighted down as well. Yeah, it fills our soul. It draws us close to God. It does take the stinky part of our life and it replaces it with a heavenly, sweet, and beautiful aroma. 1 Corinthians 13:3. But if I don't love others, I would have gained nothing. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Yes, the greatest of these is love. God's sacrificial love for us. God gave his life so that we could have life. And we often question that when we're in a moment where life seems to be unfair, difficult, problematic, weighty, disappointing, stressing, depressing. Yeah, we've been through a lot of that in the last 2.5 years, haven't we? He wants us to move forward. He wants to remind us that he does miracles. When we think about it just for a moment, the fact that he's miraculously transformed us. I mean, if Jesus could save me, anybody's possible. Everybody's probable. Why? Because he did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He paid a price that we could never pay. When he sacrificed himself upon the cross for our sins, the most needed and miraculous thing occurred. The bridge between us and God was set into place. And we can know that miraculous God personally. And one day, as Jesus resurrected, we too, through the miraculous power of God, we too will resurrect. As you come to this table today, I do pray that you would leave your weight here. Give it to God. And what I would hope you could pick up as you receive the elements today is a sense of faith that can step out against the odds. A realization that God doesn't want you to fail, he wants you to succeed. Pick up the fact that no matter how weighty your life is, there's something fantastic in holding up and helping someone, sacrificing for someone else whose life is weighty, perhaps more weighty than yours. God doesn't want us to be stinky. He wants us to be a pleasing aroma to him.